Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We want to give a shout-out to all of those that are viewing on the Gulf Coast on Christian Television Network Monday through Friday. It's our joy and honor to be with you from 5 to 6 every evening. And we thank you for being a part of the conversation. Here to encourage you in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. We'll be getting back to that.
Short and sweet. Short and sweet, man. He just says it straight up.
We'll get back to that.
Hello, sir. Good day, sir.
Good day. It's definitely on, okay? By the way, I did speak to his son. And he told me, he said, my dad has swagger. He said he does.
Really?
He was shocked.
And guess what? Mysteriously. I was going to get to it. I'm sorry, but we got to get to it now.
He doesn't say anything. He just unleashes on you.
Listen. This is what his son told me. I didn't see the video. Chris, he said, I didn't. There's a video? I said, your dad didn't share it with you? Your dad.
What?
Never mentioned it. Never even. I said.
Is this true?
John, where's John? Jonathan, we're going to get that to you. We're going to get that to him, Stephen. We're going to make sure that he has it.
When I see him, I will make sure he sees it from start to finish.
Mess with us. We'll teach you.
Multiple times if needed.
We want to encourage you today. We have a program that we want to be able to share some things that are happening around the nation and the world in San Francisco. If you have not heard already, there has been an earthquake 6.0. And my understanding is the strongest earthquake in 25 years. Hmm. And so history of earthquakes in San Francisco, I remember during the World Series when the Oakland A's were playing, earthquake there. And, of course, it was an earthquake in 1906, right around the year of the Azusa Street Revival. But something about San Francisco and earthquakes and California, we're going to talk more about it. Even Rick Joyner's prophetic word regarding California. So that's coming up in this hour. Also, we're going to be talking about how the executioner, I guess, you know, the Islamic jihadist from ISIS who murdered journalist James Foley. Even just thinking about it, just still, I mean, I'm just still has me shredded and on the inside. Mm-hmm. It's U.S. and British officials are now saying that they're close to identifying an individual, and they do have a name, Abdel Majed. Abdel Barry, and we're going to be talking about him and his background, but they're pretty close to naming him and saying that he is a prime suspect, according to reports, Fox News, New York Daily News, and British papers. But we're going to be talking about that today, and also talking about James Foley. I mean, this was an awesome American journalist, hero. I mean, when we had the opportunity, if you've missed any of our programs, please go to VFNTV.com. And you will see that there is many resources for you, but there's a way that you can view online as well. And we had a time where we had a chance to listen to an interview with his parents as they were answering questions for reporters. And to hear some of the things that they said, Pat, to hear some of the, how they, you know, what they said about their son was absolutely, absolutely amazing. And it just stirred my heart to say, wow, we have wonderful Americans living like this. You know, all throughout the United States, and oftentimes people don't have the time to interact and get the chance to meet with people and understand there's more of a dimension besides Facebook and all this other stuff. Right. People have lives, they have feelings, they have values, they have things that they're willing to lay their lives down and the things that they believe passionate about. And if we would take the time to slow down and get some maybe a little time off of ourselves and just really invest in others and just start talking to them, we will learn so much about what people are doing today. But I said, man, James Foley, what a guy, what a man.
Awesome.
And so we're going to be talking about him and a letter that he wrote his parents. That letter was released, and we're going to make that available for you, a letter that he wrote his parents while he was in captivity. And so that's going to be extra special as you share some insight into what it was like to being held at, I guess, in a terrorist prison and what he did to allow time to pass. And we're also going to be talking about in this hour how Governor Rick Perry of Texas believes that there's a possibility that ISIS can already be in the United States because of how porous the borders have been. And we're just going to kind of unpack all of that for you here today. But I want to talk about, we can get right to it, the earthquake in San Francisco. 6.0. I could only imagine, you know, worst hurricane in the last 25 years, or strongest hurricane, rather. And one man reports...
Earthquake.
That's a hurricane. Thank you, Ben. Earthquake.
Not the same.
Listen, I live in Florida. I keep thinking earthquake, hurricane. It's coming, you know, hurricane season.
Yeah.
And sorry, but earthquake. One man describes it that the house shook so violently that as he was trying to get out of his bed, he kept being knocked down back into his bed. That's how he describes it.
Oh, wow.
Just tragic, tragic. You know, buildings have come apart and, you know, many people have been injured. But my understanding right now, 172 people have been injured. There has been no reported deaths up to this moment, which is a miracle.
That is amazing. Wow. Really.
Which is a miracle considering the magnitude of this. But I want you to watch an ABC 7 affiliate as they update a report on what happened in San Francisco and what they're learning to, you know, recover and help people out. Watch this.
Big story that we're following on the West Coast, parts of Northern California under a state of emergency tonight after a 6.1 magnitude earthquake hit near the city of Napa this morning. Dozens of people were injured, at least three critically. ABC's Akiko Fujita is in Napa.
The powerful tremors jolted residents awake. The 6.0 magnitude quake striking the heart of California's wine country just after 3 a.m.
Well, I just held on. I threw some pillows over me and I rode it out.
The quake was so strong it crumbled historic buildings, buckled roads, and sparked fires overnight. The flames tore through this mobile home park, destroying at least four homes. Bill and Teresa returned to find this. We lost it.
But we're... Not everything.
The tremor ruptured gas lines and water mains, sending firefighters scrambling.
No water to fight. You had to just get people out of the path.
At area hospitals, doctors rushed to treat the injured. Nearly 100 patients reported, with at least three, including one child, in critical condition. Carrie Kassler was hurt in her hotel room.
The glass from the mirrors came and put shards and fragments everywhere. I got glass in my feet.
Governor Jerry Brown has now declared a state of emergency. This area, known for its active faults, now reeling from its strongest quake in 25 years. Tonight, tens of thousands remain without power as they brace for more aftershocks in the days ahead.
And already there have been a handful of aftershocks that have been recorded since that initial quake struck overnight. The Red Cross has set up an evacuation shelter at a local church. Schools have been canceled tomorrow. Akiko Fujita, ABC News, Napa, California.
What a scene.
Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing. Reports are that people have been taken to the hospital with broken bones, heart attacks, and other things that have occurred. You can imagine, I mean, at least with a hurricane, Pat. You can prepare. You know that
yeah,
it's coming.
You know it's coming, yeah.
And you know you can do it. Leave if you needed to, but with a earthquake, it just kind of just happens.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing to see the damage and the things that occur as a result. But I look at some of the loss of homes and things that people to go through. It's like, man, that is a tough disaster. That's a tough thing to go through. But the encouraging part, and hopefully in the second program, the second hour today, if you get a chance. Continue to stay connected with us. We're going to be discussing the power of hope, because you need hope. You need to be able to persevere during times that, you know, you come against disasters. You know, who plans an accident? That's why they call it an accident.
Right.
You know, who plans a disaster? It's why it's a disaster, an earthquake or an hurricane. These things come upon us, and if your hope is misplaced in any other area but God, you're going to be sadly disappointed. You're going to be depressed. Obviously, we go through times of trials and loss and mourn, but the idea for us and the hope, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, is that your North Star, your peace in the midst of the storm, your calm, if you will, is always on Jesus. The Word of God says He'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast on God. And so that's what we need to do. We need to focus our mind and our hearts back on the Lord. And we want to encourage you, those in California that are connected with VFN TV, listen, put your hope in God today. Put your trust in the Lord, and He will help you rebuild not just your homes, your buildings, and your community in Napa, but He'll also help you rebuild your lives, not just for this lifetime, but the lifetime to come.
That's right.
And you can trust the Lord. I think about, Steve, Rick Joyner's word a few years back when he talked about, you know, you need to be prepared to leave California. I mean, it's basically what he said, and we can try to make that related for you in its entirety so you can hear Rick Joyner himself share it. But he said, you know, I used to tell folks in terms of California and what the Lord has showed me, speaking of Rick Joyner, he would say that you just need to pray about leaving, you know, just submit it to God and just pray. Now he's saying, you know, you need to pray about whether you should stay. And he got a lot of flack for that because of, you know, different ministry stuff, whatever was going on, you know, in California. But you just need to pray about it. You need to really just pray about what you need to do because it's going to get rougher. It's going to get rougher. And any place that you're hanging your shingle and hanging your hat that's not in Jesus Christ, believe me, everything that can be shaken
will be shaken.
And you want to be able to stand on the solid rock. And that solid rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never fail you. He'll never disappoint you. And he'll never, you know, allow you to, you know, be totally destroyed because he'll rescue you. He'll save you if you put your hope in him. And so join us in our prayers for San Francisco, the people of San Francisco. And I just look back and I say, man, you know, back in the World Series with the Oakland A's, middle of the World Series, I remember watching that game and an earthquake happening and people were in the stands. They had to call the game and everything. And then I dial back to 1906 during, you know, Azusa Street Revival, another earthquake hit San Francisco. And I just say, Lord, I pray for good things come out of San Francisco. And I pray that that maybe will just happen in the physical, that maybe there'll be a spiritual awakening, a quaking in the earth and the land, and that many will come to the Lord in California. We just want to see a huge wave of the glory of God just wave over there. A lot of things, good things are happening in California, and we want to see more of that, more when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Can public land be donated to a religious organization? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
We teach the gospel to public school students through the Release Time Bible program.
Sure.
Our vision is to seek a camp to serve the community and these students, and we are talking with a borough council that is considering donating land to us, but there's a hang-up. They don't know if they can donate land to a religious organization.
There should be no difficulty there whatsoever. That's called an accommodation of religious practices, as long as the process is, and I'm sure it is with the borough or the township that you're involved in, that they've given other land to other organizations. The fact that it's a religious organization should not automatically disqualify it. You hang on the line here. We'll get you some help.
Find out more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
And you know, Pat, I abide. Do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
Steve, do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
I abide, you abide, Steve abides. We all abide together. We want to encourage you to abide along with us.
I think Chris does too.
And I think Chris does too. He's shaking.
Over
there.
Smile.
He doesn't have a mic. Oh, right, he's jumping. He abides too. And I know Greg abides. Listen, join us in abiding. We talked about how you can get a free simple plan. Go to iabide.org, select get your free plan today, And when you begin to abide, we want to hear what the Lord is saying to you. Contact us. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook and go to VFNTV.com to find different ways that you can connect with us and with the program. Mm-hmm. And we want to hear what God is saying. There's so many abiders right mm-hmm. now, and God's saying so many wonderful things. Children are hearing from God, and they're journaling what God is speaking to them in the Word. And
with
that
crayons.
Is beautiful. Crayons, pens, markers, you name it. They're just writing it down. And God's speaking to them, giving them dreams. And it's like, wow, very good. So the Spirit knows no age. You know that? Spirit knows no age.
Nope.
And when God wants to speak, He will definitely, definitely speak.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome back. Joining me back for the break is Steve and Pat. And before our break, we were talking about the earthquake in San Francisco, 6.0 magnitude, worst earthquake in 25 years, they're saying. And we want to make sure that there's a related segment for you to encourage you in this. It's called In the Day of Disaster, Calamity and Uncertainty and Storms. We want to be able to point you to the one who is the rock, the one who can encourage you and strengthen you. And we also have another segment for you that we want to make sure that you get a hold of. We want to make sure that's related for you as well. Why do these storms happen? Why do these disasters happen? Listen, we can put our hope in God. We can trust in the Lord in the midst of all these things that are happening. And I just felt that even as I was seeing this unfold, I feel like, you know, the Lord was speaking to me in terms of we're going to see this on the increase. We're going to see more disasters. In fact, this is one of the things that John Paul Jackson prophesied in The Perfect Storm back in 2008. And The Perfect Storm was going to be about several things happening all at the same time at different parts of the country. You had things that were weather-related going to happen, economy-related, riot-related. And right now, I would dare say that is an accurate word because we're seeing it right now.
Yeah.
And the beginning of this word, he said this will all start when the Egyptian president Mubarak would be replaced. And he was in office at this time, and who would have thought that Mubarak would have been replaced since he had been the president of Egypt for decades. So, like, what scenario would that be? But he was replaced.
Sorry.
And that just issued in a wave. Again, that word was given, I think, at the end of 2007, beginning of 2008. We're several years into this storm. And we're seeing it unfold, and there's still more to come. But you want to make sure that in the midst of all of this, that you don't lose your hope and you don't be full of despair and anxiety and fear, because we don't need to live in fear. We need to live in the security of God's love, and that if you belong to Him, He's got you, and He's got your back. And you can make it. You can make it. And these things point to us and help us to realize, you know, what have I been building my life upon? That's one thing about tragedy that I have noticed and having the opportunity of you know, helping folks out during hurricanes and Katrina and Ivan and all the way from Mississippi to Louisiana. We had been to so many shelters where displaced folks were living in just huge gymnasiums on cots. And when your life is just totally interrupted. You didn't plan it, but it happened. It gives you an opportunity to evaluate, am I living for? Is what I'm living for the things, you know, are they worth Christ dying for? It gets you to realize, what is my life all about? What am I doing, if you will? And I think those are sobering moments. I think those are great moments because whether you're experiencing a natural disaster, weather-related, hurricane, earthquake, tornado, snowstorm, right? Or whether you're actually experiencing a personal disaster, you know, a breakup in the home, in a marriage, a loss of life, you know, it helps us to take a pause for a moment and realize, okay, what matters most? And at the end of the day, I mean, listen, I've been in so many people's deathbeds, you know, did some time as a chaplain in a hospital. People only care about two things when they pass away. You talk about priorities, things that matter, because you talk to people today and they're like, I'm so busy.
Yeah, right.
They're like, what are you doing? Okay, Xbox, what are you doing? I'm so busy. And at the end of the day, There's only two things that people really care about. Mm-hmm. Only two. One, I wish I would have done more for my family because I'm getting ready to leave them. And two, I wish I knew God because I'm getting ready to see him.
Mm-hmm.
Two things. And you can avoid tomorrow's regrets today. And you can avoid having to go through that process in the day of disaster to try to figure this out. Sometimes people need it. You know, it's like, if there was no disaster, you wouldn't have woken up.
Mm-hmm.
You needed a shaking in your life to get you to realize mm-hmm. what is happening. But imagine this. Imagine learning now and imagine allowing just borrowing the experience and allowing you to ask those questions about your life today. Mm-hmm. So that when that day of disaster comes, you're not focused on yourself, but you're able to help others mm-hmm. come to the same conclusion that you did.
Yeah.
It's about God. We got to turn our hearts and our lives back to God, and God has to be number one in our homes, in our marriages, in our families, in our churches, in our community, everywhere, so that you know, we can have a blessed land and we can be with him and do the things that he's called us to do. So we want to encourage you today. Stay encouraged. There's tremendous hope with the Lord, and as the Bible says, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. It's amazing that when disaster comes, a lot of times people are trying to take care of their own needs
mm-hmm.
and they become self-focused instead of, you know, outward focus. So you may be alone in your own rubble, but you're not really alone. If you cry out to God, his ears are not deaf that he can't hear you, and his arms are not too short that he can't reach out to you. He loves you, has a plan for your life, and he's only one cry away. So cry out, and he's there.
Amen.
He's there. We want to talk about a person they identified. You know, just, you know, we as a nation, we just went through a situation that really should have caused a lot of people to, if you haven't already, do a lot of soul searching and thinking and having some empathy. I mean, the Bible says for us to mourn with those who mourn. And right now, we mourn with Diane and John Foley, the parents of James mm-hmm. Foley, mm-hmm. journalist, who was literally beheaded with a knife on video. And many are saying it's a terrorist attack on America. It's a declaration of war. You take mm-hmm. someone from our country and you cut their head off, and then you call out our president on video. And come on, you know, this enough is enough. And when you see this type of demonic stuff happening, and this is the fruition of what's been happening for a while. I mean, we've reported and shared about the Christian babies, children that were being beheaded. We talked about the Christians that were being forced in Iraq up Sinjar Mountain because their homes were being stolen, their property was being confiscated, their wives were being taken as concubines and raped repeatedly. And so they flee to a mountain for safety where there is no water, no food, and many people died
mm-hmm.
of dehydration. Children died of dehydration. We showed you a segment where a mother takes a medicine cap, Steve, and she fills it up every hour with a little bit of water, and that's what how she kept her kids alive, by giving them a little bit of water every hour.
Mm.
And we're complaining about it being hot. You know what I mean? It just gets you to really focus on what matters.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a huge thing, because it's just, there's so much, and you really have to look at like our culture, and it's just like the movies, the images, and so often it's just like we've become so desensitized and forget the fact that this was real. This yeah. really happened.
It's not a movie.
There are lives that are just absolutely devastated. Siblings that are devastated. Coworkers that are devastated. There are still people right now that, you know, we're going to read a letter that you were talking about in a later program. And it's like, there are still people right now that are in custody in a non-safe area. And it's just like, they don't have the comfort of carpet. They don't have the comfort of their screen TV or their phone. It's just like, breaking away from the entertainment and the comfort, and realizing reality is happening right now.
Yeah, and it's time to wake up.
Yeah.
We want to show you a picture of this gentleman. His name is Abdel Majed Abdel Barry. He's a 23-year-old rapper from Great Britain, from the UK, and they're pretty close to identifying him as the killer, mm-hmm. the murderer. And then we have another picture of him as well. This is a side profile, and you can almost see in the eyes. It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. And and voice recognition, you know, Siri, it does work. I mean, this is how they're able to track down. They're able to look at recordings of voice, and amazing. Wow. That miles away, they're with that quick speed of time, they're able to identify someone, and they're pretty much, you know, closing in closing in and saying this is officially it. But the suspect, they say, you know, he left his parents a million-dollar home, and they call him a homegrown jihadist, and that he took off to Syria to help ISIS fight in Syria. Now, reports are that there's close to 500 fighters in joining with ISIS from the UK that have passports, that can come in and back out of you know, Afghanistan and Iraq and Syria, back into UK, and guess what? They can fly on over to the United States too, you know? They can come through our borders, as we're going to talk about more in today's program. And it gets you to thinking, man, this is a serious business. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk more specifically about this person, about some of the things he rapped about, and actually who his father is. May or may not surprise you, but they're closing on in, and we want to see the killer face justice. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts. We're in this for the long haul, or until they take us down. Thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we are excited about it. There's so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. I mean, God's brought us out of all this, but when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, what we have, he's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error, and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you, and it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong, because that's not true, and that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that if, in fact, that you want, say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. The Lord of my life, and I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life.
You're listening to VFN Radio. where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome back for joining us. Joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we were talking before the break about the executioner, the murderer, the person who beheaded journalist James Foley, and how British intelligence, MI5, Steve?
Yeah, there's two of them, MI5 and MI6.
MI5 and MI6, British intelligence agency, they're closing in and identifying, and they have a suspect. His name is Abdel Mahed Abdel Barry, and he is a rapper from London. Reports are that he left his parents a $1 million home as he went to fight with ISIS in Syria, mm-hmm. and that his father, Barry is one of six children, but his father is Abdel Abdul Barry, an Egyptian militant who is facing terrorism charges in connection with Al-Qaeda and the twin 1998 bombings at the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania that killed 224 people. So who knew? Wow. And so they're closing on in on him, and they're identifying him and doing whatever they can do to bring him to justice. But they also talk about some of the things that he rapped about and what he referred to in his raps. He's referring to his mother, and he says, you always knew what was best for me. I hope I die before I see you. Rest in peace. He also says in July of 2013 in his Facebook, it's called the Unknown Mixtape, where he continues to say, I want to make sure we get this for you. He says in the mixtape, here I am with my bro Tabernacle will be the last music I'm ever releasing. I have left everything for the sake of Allah. So he releases his last mixtape and says, I'm leaving everything for the sake of Allah. And you got to ask yourself the question, I mean, if someone's willing to leave everything for Allah and to be a killer, don't those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, my goodness, we should be able to do the same, if not more, right? Mm-hmm,
right.
I mean, and this just goes to show you what has happened. Apparently, they report that there's been a progression in his life where he's able to, you know, do that. But this is what he tweeted on August the 13th. He says of himself, he tweeted a photo of himself in Iraq holding a severed head with the caption, chilling with my homies or what's left of him. This is the depravity. This is the sickness. The Twitter account was shut down. It was closed. And these are the things we're looking at. Listen, we need to bring ISIS to judgment. We got to go out there and take them out, because not just for James Foley, but for the countless other Christians, Yazidis, and even the peaceful Muslims mm-hmm. that these guys have just butchered mm-hmm. and mowed down. And you take a man like James Foley, the journalist, this is a hero, a beloved son, my understanding, a patriot, a guy who just, you know, loved our country, and he risked his life day in and day out. He was in Libya, and they almost didn't, were going to get him out of Libya. Looked like mm-hmm. he was trapped there. He gets out of Libya and goes right back in. Mm-hmm. He goes right back in to get us, first-hand accounts. And one report is, and one of the things said about James Foley is that once the war starts, you lose all the truth. So you got to get there before the war breaks out. And so he was willing to put himself, like I said, in harm's way. There's some things that you and I talked about where his mother, who's had two other sons mm-hmm. who were in the military, a daughter who's a nurse in the military, she would be nauseous and sick to her stomach, fearing for the lives of her sons who were in battle or at war, when she didn't realize
that James was actually more at harm.
Talk to us about that. Why would he be more at harm?
Well, I think about just him as a reporter, and I was able to just to kind of just look more into some of his past reports of just being in the middle of a patrol attached to basically an army unit in Kandahar, Afghanistan. And it's like you got to think about if somebody is on an equipped patrol, they've got a full armament, they've got weapon systems, they've got magazines, everything that they need to defense.
And Steve's a former Marine, so he's given us factual information.
Yeah, and it's just like they're able to return fire when they receive fire. So when enemies are coming against and ambushing a patrol, James is there. James Foley is there with a flak of Kevlar and a camera.
What's a flak of Kevlar for those who don't know?
A flak is basically your bulletproof vest, and a Kevlar is your helmet. Mm. And he doesn't have a gun.
No gun.
He doesn't have magazines. He doesn't have flares. He doesn't have anything else to defend himself. He has a camera. And that's what I think is just all week, what I've just been carrying. And it's just like that revelation, that perspective. And in the interview that they had with his parents, his father says that we so demand the news. We demand what's going on. But we totally take for granted that the lives are sacrificed, the lives that are totally poured out for us to have that perspective of the news. And it's like, this was James. He willingly, and it's like, I think about so many parents or friends that look at veterans, they look at service members, and they say, how can you go back? How can you go back and continue to fight the war? And James said the same thing, and it's just like, he's like, I found my calling. Even after being in captivity in Libya.
His passion, right?
Yeah. Even after being in captivity in Libya, he still went right back because he says, I have to tell this. I have to make this known. And they said that he, and I can't think of the exact words, but he gave a personality to the soldiers. He gave a humanization to them because he gave that intimate lens that so many don't see. And so often it's like you can see about what's going on in the war and all of a sudden just think about whatever you think about, but forget about the lives and the very hands that are holding that camera.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we got to get back to. It's just like, this is the life that James chose, that James chose to live.
His parents in a 30-minute interview continue to say that, you know, the testimony of his own life, he said, we just saw him transform before us to be more like Jesus. And they continue to say how their son, this little boy, they said, they just seen over the years and throughout his reporting and throughout his life and what he was able to do, to see a compassion, a love. One story that they share about him that I thought was so touching was they share, because reports as hostages have been released, they've been able to call James' parents and be able to tell them things they've observed, messages that James wanted to get out. In fact, we're going to be sharing with you briefly a letter that was memorized by a fellow hostage who called his parents up immediately upon release to share with them the letter that he memorized for them and that James wrote. And one account is where another person that was taken captive because James was older was able to be there for him. Apparently the stress was getting too much and the person was breaking down, and all James did was just hold him.
Mm-hmm.
Just hold him you know, it's just so touching to me because we undervalue the simple things in life, a kind look, a kind word. Yeah. You know, I often say, listen, it's free. It doesn't cost you a thing. Tell the waitress, hi.
Yeah.
Tell the person, you know, you're paying your gas. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's okay to pat someone on the back and just give them a hug and say, hey, it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people I've noticed just go through life. You don't know what's happening to your coworker today. You have no idea what's happening to the person driving right alongside of you. You don't know the tragedy that they're going through. You don't know what's happening in their homes. You don't know what's happening to their kids. They could be dying of an illness. And sometimes we misread people's, you know, behaviors. We have no empathy. We can't relate. We can't understand that they're going through it. They're going through it. And, you know, I've grown in empathy as I've realized that I've gone through quite a bit of things myself, and I'm able to say, and I'm trying to do it better, to say, hey, don't count that against them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible says it's to a man's glory to overlook an offense. And what that means is that when people offend us, it's okay to say, oh, I'm not going to count that. I'm just going to let that thing go. It's not going to stick on me like Velcro. I'm just going to let it go. And we can do that when we start operating in empathy and start realizing that, you know, people go through it and that we need to be there for them. And so this man was just there. He was compassionate. And we need to stand. We need to be together with his parents as they go through this as a nation. And, you know, what was adding insult to injury to me is that the president was actually on vacation, not something we're, you know, making up or something that we're saying disparaging. She was on vacation, and he's playing golf, and he shares briefly about what occurred, and then he just goes back to playing golf. There's no statement about what we're going to do. There's no, I mean, it's very brief. And I think about, you know, I think about, well, is this an isolated incident? Is this, you know, do we give more time? And then you go back and you look at, well, Pastor Saeed Abedini, an American citizen, pastor, in jail, in prison today, over a year, in Iran's Evin prison, a notorious, hellacious place. Mm-hmm. And he's an American citizen, not forgotten by those who love him in the Christian community, but forgotten by our own government. We haven't gone in there to get him out. Mm-hmm. Was this an isolated incident of not maybe doing as much or what we can do for James? Well, I look back at Sergeant Andrew Tamarisi, mm-hmm. a Marine who fought for our country, has just recently come back from the front lines, until today, 100+ days, a third of a year, he's sitting in a Mexican prison. Mm-hmm. He was hogtied, tortured, went to court, I mean, and he's still there. Mm-hmm. And you think, you would think.
For making a wrong turn.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, because I left that out. For making a wrong turn, and he's in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. And had called for help once he got there, and said they couldn't help him.
How tragic is that? You think, man, I served my country. You know, I'm a Marine. I make a phone call. Please, come get me, you know, as I was doing something for you. I was defending you over there. And I was halfway across the world. I mean, you're like right up the road. Can you just come get me out of here? You know what I'm saying?
Literally. They can do.
And they say there was nothing that he can do. And this is Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Mexico.
Yeah.
And then I think about Miriam Ibrahim. Yes, she was Sudanese, but her husband was an American. And she was in prison, locked up in chains, gave birth in prison for being a Christian. And it took nations in the East to get ahead and rescue her and get her out. And finally, she arrived in the United States. And I just think that we can do certainly a whole lot more. And the message is, my goodness, if you're an American, don't get caught overseas.
Or anywhere.
Your fault or not your fault, because it seems that this administration is not going to come get you. And I think about what James wrote. This is what he says in his letter. He says, I remember going to the mall with my dad, a very long bike ride with my mom. I remember so many great family times that take me away from this prison. Dreams of family and friends take me away, and happiness fills my heart. He says, I know you are thinking of me and praying for me. That's a good feeling when you know people that are praying for you, and you can actually feel prayers. I felt them before, you know? Yeah. You can feel them. He says, I'm so thankful, and I feel you especially when I pray. And I pray for you to stay strong and to believe. I really feel I can touch you even in this darkness when I pray. Mm-hmm. And that's the power of prayer. That's the power of being able to communicate with God. That God will connect us supernaturally. There's no land, there's no space or amount of time that you know, will stop prayer. Prayer has no limit. You can't stop it. Mm-hmm. And God's ears are not dull. He hears. And so our hearts go out to James Foley family. Our hearts go out to those that are still in that ISIS prison. And we just pray for their release. And we pray that our nation and the nations of the world together do something to eradicate this horrific group, these jihadists that are literally killing Christians, beheading them, and spreading their hate. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it, in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it, mm-hmm. and you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to vfntv.com, mm-hmm. click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded into your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. There it's you yours. Yes. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
They had a representative from the District of Columbia. They all went to Israel as a, for solidarity.
A lot of people might not know where the District of Columbia is.
Well, educate us, because it's near Washington, D.C. somewhere.
It is Washington, D.C.
There it is. Okay.
I assumed you knew, John.
Right. You assumed wrong.
This is a man with all these degrees. And,
hey.
And last I heard,
I didn't
walking
go to that
on
class.
Water.
I missed that class.
This is our education system. We need help.
I want my money back now.
Yes. That's why they call it Columbia University.
There we go.
Right. Okay. Back to
the night with
Brother
Israel.
Dan.
The okay, night with ahead. Israel.
Oh, how are you doing?
I'm doing
¿Cómo está?
Estoy bien, ¿y tú?
Muy bien.
Muy bien.
Yeah. ¿Cómo está, El Pato? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so getting back to Washington, D.C., District of Columbia.
He got one joke. We're
yeah, that's
here.
Good.
We're going to
6 years of college.
Hey, we're
going to
use that humor. I just want you to know. Okay,
that's
where's
good.
The camera? We're
going to
use
good.
That humor
good.
For the next
can y'all make sure
weeks.
We got... Okay, they got that.
Hey, okay,
there.
You got it?
Welcome to VFN TV Daily Radio Program.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos. Joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we will address the Washington District of Columbia in the next program, okay? But for right now, we're going to talk about...
You know where it is.
Apparently there's a class
I do now.
Focus just on the location of
I
DC.
Do now. But however, we're going
to
talk about the power of hope. You know, in our first two segments, we were talking about the tragic events that occurred in the earthquake there in San Francisco, 6.0 earthquake, 172 people injured, miracle, no one has died to date, and we're thankful for that. But you know, you go through situations in life, the longer you live, the more opportunities you have to face some things, to face trials and circumstances, and things that will steal not only your joy, but we could, you know, steal your hope. And we want to encourage you today that, listen, you don't have to have your hope stolen, but you can be encouraged. A lot of times people think, when they think of the word hope, they think there's just a wish, you know, wishing on a star, you know, I just hope, you know. Mm-hmm. But the definition of hope tells us it's a whole lot more than that. In fact, it says to wish or desire for something with the expectation of its fulfillment. It's not just like a wish, I hope, you know. But it's with an expectation that this thing is going to happen. It's an optimistic outlook on your situation. And oftentimes, hope is the gas tank. It's the fuel in your gas tank, rather, that helps you to keep going. You know, you can be struck down sometimes in such a place where you're like, man, this looks hopeless. This is never going to turn out. This is bad. And where do we go from here? And that type of thinking will get you to be paralyzed. It'll get you to be stopped. It'll cause you to be negative. It'll allow you to be fearful. And then that will spread to everyone around you. Hmm. And all of a sudden, there's this huge cloud of hopelessness and despair. And then comes misery. And we want to encourage you to get that cloud off of you today. that you don't have to be in despair. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be in a place of misery. Psalms 31:24 says, "Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." Psalm 33:18 says, "But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him and on those whose hope is in his unfailing love." And many times I think that people experience a hopelessness situation or they lose their hope is for two reasons. Maybe there's more, but I've been able to come up with two reasons. And one of them, I believe, is because they focused all of their attention on their problem, mm-hmm. on their trial. You know, whatever you behold, whatever you keep thinking in your mind is going to dictate the emotions and what you're feeling in your life. You've ever driven down a road and all of a sudden you feel sad and you're like, man, why am I sad? What's, mm-hmm. What are my emotions? You know, your mm-hmm. emotions tell on you. And you go back and you think, oh, yeah, that's right. I just got a ticket or something, you know. And I got to pay $300 and what dollars? And you're like, ah, yeah, that's a bad mm-hmm. situation. Well, your mind was focused on a negative thing. And then what you were focusing on actually affected your emotions. And our emotions telling us all the time. And I was talking to some young people the other day. And I said, you know, when you get excited, your parents are going to take you to an event or a movie or an outing. And all day you're prepared. All day you're mm-hmm. excited. You know, if you know in a couple days in advance, when my dad used to take me to work with him at the trade center. Now, mind you, I couldn't get up to go to school, right? But when I would go to him to go to the World Trade Center in New York City, I'd be getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. Just mm-hmm. I didn't want to miss, you know, going off with him. I was excited. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, why? Because those things were on my mind. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, where you direct your mind will determine your hope and your peace. The Bible tells us that those who keep their minds on Him, right, mm-hmm. on the Lord, will have peace in their lives. Mm-hmm. And the other reason why people, I believe, fall into a place of hopelessness is because they have what I call misplaced hope. They've misplaced their hope in other areas. You know, they're looking for security, so they've placed their hope in a job, financial security. They're looking for emotional stability, so they've placed their hope in a person or a relationship. And the truth of the matter is that once those things start quaking and shaking, you lost your peace, you get to realize, oh my goodness, I have misplaced hope. Mm-hmm. I have misplaced hope. I like what the scripture says in Romans 15. It says, Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." See, when we lack our peace, it's the God of hope that fills us with peace and joy. So when we're trusting God, we're like, man, I have a peace about this, you know, I have mm-hmm. joy in my heart. But the absence of peace and the absence of joy, it's like an alarm system, if you will. And you're like, where did I put my yeah. hope? Where's my hope? I gotta find my hope. Where did I put it? Mm-hmm. Oh, and then you realize, man, I put my hope in this person, or I put my hope in this situation. I was betting, if you will, quote unquote, that this was going to work out. And because you put all of your hope, your entrustment in something that is not dependable, it will disappoint you and you'll crash and burn every mm-hmm. time. But when you put your hope in God, you're going to be filled with joy. Psalms 42, verse 5 says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" This is what David says. "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." And really, truly, you know, at the end of the day, the only hope you have is your hope in the Lord. It's the only thing that will last. 1 Corinthians tells us, and these three will remain: faith, hope, and love.
Right.
These are the things that remain. And we want to encourage you that you may be facing trials of many kinds, whether it is a natural disaster in weather and you weren't expecting it to happen. Maybe you've experienced an accident and it's changing your whole trajectory of where your life was going and where your family was going, and you had all these plans, but those plans have been completely stopped. Maybe it's an illness. I want to encourage you. We want to encourage you. You can put your hope in all these different areas. We listen, God uses medical technology and the doctors and all those different things, But where are you going to put your hope? Your hope is found on God, is found in His Word, on His faithfulness, on His character, on His integrity. You can trust Him. Mm-hmm. You can trust Him. You know, oftentimes when we say that, you know, I'm having a hard time trusting someone or trusting a situation, oftentimes it's because we saw something in their character or something in their lives that have caused us to say, not too sure about that, right?
Right.
When we're saying we can't trust God, that we can't put our hope in Him, then we're actually questioning God's character. Mm. We're questioning His faithfulness. We're questioning His integrity. Let me say, God is faithful. He's full of integrity, and He will deliver. We just need to get rid of our misplaced faith and put our faith and our confidence and our hope in the one who remains, the one who is faithful, the one who is true, and the one who loves us. Listen, you may not know what tomorrow holds, but if you know the one who holds tomorrow, it's going to be okay. Listen, you're not in your enemy's hands. You're not even in your own hands. You're in God's hands if you put yourself there, and He is faithful and able to hold you and walk you all the way through the trial that you're facing today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on Sign Up for the Newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there? Fill out your information here, push Submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. to have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married, or why you're going to need to stay married, or why you need to have family, or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for the Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.